listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
What is hurting us right now, economically, our statements, false
it's
statements.
Sad. We just met with these people.
We were watching the entire group.
By the way, the thing on Ed Schultz
it's
said,
2 inches long.
You would have been screwed.
Woody, this is assault.
World famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. The news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. And remember,
Woody, this is assault.
Now, anyway, go to our website, philhenryshow.com, which is the right arm of the Phil Hendry Show, the greatest archive available of any radio show anywhere. Groundbreaking Phil Hendry Show. Also, a live streaming video of our show every night. And for the second time tonight, because I was beating on the table, if you'll pardon the expression, the camera fell off the stand and went boop. Looked like it would look. What were you saying, bud?
Yeah, it looked like the end of Blair Witch Project and a girl got her head chopped off and everything.
I don't remember that. I don't remember the girl getting her head chopped off. I remember the camera falling.
Yeah, but her head rolled by.
Her head rolled by?
Man, I don't remember the head because remember you said that.
Yeah, the head rolled. If you see the Blair Witch Project, the camera will go and then the head. I'm pretty sure the head rolls by. Just roll. You'll see like her. She's like smiling, and then.
Will you shut up? She's smiling.
I swear to God.
Hey, Rance, do you remember her head getting chopped off at the end of? Because he was bringing that up to me. At the end of Blair Witch Project, her head. It doesn't get chopped off. She just collapses. He says, "Yeah." So
he said it got. That's why I said it.
He says you hear a thump when she collapses.
Yeah, because the guy probably killed her or something.
Yeah, that's what I thought, man. She comes around the corner. She sees the guy stand. What the hell are we talking about anyway?
Talk about the head rolling. The head get it chopped off.
No, I was talking about my camera, but the head get it chopped off. I'm talking about the camera fell off the stand, and it looked like Blair Witch Project.
No, because there's no head.
Well, you forget about the head. There doesn't have to be a head. Despite what Ed Schultz said he'd do to all the union heads.
I heard that too, man.
Hey, Ed, you got to watch that, dude. Because I distinctly heard, you know, Ed Schultz say that in order for he could get 300,000 people there in the Capitol Mall, if he just passed around a little, love, if you'll pardon the intent of that. Here it is.
I could get every union head in this country.
I don't know the way he said that. All right. 877. Oh, he said I could get every.
Yeah.
All right. 877-876 Phil. Now this one goes in the books for I don't know this. If I was this guy, I'd probably see. Here's the thing: if you survived a 39-story fall from a building in New York City, okay?
Yeah, man, I would think that God wanted me to live.
That's what I would think. But then there's the other side of that, which is, you know,
if at first you don't succeed,
yeah. If at first you don't succeed, try again.
What are you talking about, man? That's bad.
No, if the guy jumped. Here's a guy, he fell 39 stories from a building in New York City. He crashed on top of a Dodge Charger, and he has lived to tell the tale. This is from a Daily News bulletin in the New York Daily News. A young man fell 39 stories Tuesday from a West Side high-rise in New York. He crashed through the windshield of a sports car, and he has lived to tell about it. The first words out of his mouth after he landed were, "My leg, my leg." Thomas McGill screamed after an apparent suicide attempt ended with his landing in the red 2008 Dodge Charger. And the guy whose car he wrecked is praying for him. He reached into his car and pulled a rosary out, and he said, "This is what saved that guy." This man, who's the owner, is a gentleman by the name of Guy McCormick of New Jersey. He owns the Charger, which is now destroyed. And he was doing construction work across the street. And he went in and he reached and he got his rosary and he said, "This is how the guy survived right here. Here's what saved him." Meanwhile, someone said, "Guy, your car is..." "No, but look what saved your car." "Oh, yeah, that's right." Anyway, McGill was in critical condition Tuesday night. Here's why he was in critical condition. He has two broken legs, but you can well imagine having fallen 39 stories. They're not just broken. If you see the guy, he is sitting inside the car. If you see the picture, he's sitting and he's looking up at rescue workers. And I said to Jason, I said, "Hey, look, the guy's sitting in the car." Jason goes, "Well, It looks like he's sitting. He's actually sitting on legs that are just, you know, pretzeled up, man.
Yeah, but no, his legs are all like made out of, what do you call it, like just like sawdust or something.
What do you mean? They don't work?
What do you mean they don't work?
No, but what I mean is his legs are, is he standing up there?
No, he's not standing up, bud. His legs are just busted all to hell. So really, it's just him sitting on the trunk of his body with these legs all mangled. I don't know, man. In other words, and the latest word we got is that the guy was in surgery. And so the doctors are looking to repair the legs. I don't think it's a matter of them being amputated or anything. According to a witness, Andrew Petricelli, the man came down, and I'm quoting this witness, he came down feet first at like 100 miles an hour. Mr. Petricelli is a maintenance worker across the street from where Mr. McGill jumped. That's a miracle if I ever seen one. He should be a goner. It was like that movie Unbreakable. That was this guy, Unbreakable. Don't you love New Yorkers?
Good for a colorful quote.
Now, he believes McGill survived on the wings of divine intervention. That would be Guy McCormick, who reached in and got out the rosary. McGill's father, Thomas, sent a text message to friends saying, please pray for my son. He's stable now. We can only hope he'll be okay. The father said after doctors briefed him on his son's surgery at St. Luke's Hospital, McGill, whose family lives on Staten Island, was once listed as a resident of the Manhattan building, West End Towers at 75 West End Avenue. Neighbor said he studied music at Fordham. Mr. McGill had a Facebook page. On it, he wrote, I hate my life. Under the category bio, he posted, I'm over it. And he listed being mean and making fun of people as interests. Police sources said investigators believe he jumped from a 39th floor window or balcony at 10:45 in the morning. He landed in the car's back seat and trunk area, twisted like a pretzel.
What does that mean?
It's all like a pretzel, man.
I bet you his legs were like... I bet you when they found him, his, like, 1 foot was near his ear, and...
Get out of here!
I swear, man, I bet you when they say... I bet you he was sitting there, and it was like something out of a Monty Python sketch.
Yeah, man, he probably had, like, a 1 foot in his pocket, and another foot, like, on the back windshield or something like that.
Are you serious?
I'm dead serious, man. How many times do I gotta tell you? The guy's legs were busted really bad. Really bad. So the cat is sitting there. He probably looked like that... One of those guys, like you were saying, in a Monty Python sketch, you know, with this, the feet are up near the top of his head or something. I mean, it must have been bad news. Mr. Petricelli, who witnessed this, said the man, this guy McGill, had his hands up in the air, flailing. Just when he's about to land, there was a boom and glass flying all over. Petricelli surmised the car saved his life. He landed in there like a stuntman. It was amazing. McGill hit so hard that his royal blue KED sneakers were knocked off his feet and one landed on the windshield of a car parked behind the Dodge. According to Francine DiNardo, a neighbor of the McGills on Staten Island, I'm shocked that he did that. He's an amazing kid. He seems so happy. He seems so joyful. While surviving a fall of 39 stories would be miraculous in any book, it's not unheard of in the city of New York. Window washer Alcides Marino survived a 43-story accidental fall on December 7, 2008, from an east side skyscraper. I seem to remember that, but I'm telling you, man, that's goofy. A guy going 39 stories. And there was another story about a baby that fell off a bridge 150 feet below.
Yeah, you were telling about how that baby got thrown off the bridge by the lady when it cried, you know.
Yeah, we were goofing around. We said that every time a baby cries, the instinct of the mother is to throw it. And she just happened to be on a bridge 150 feet above a riverbed. But the fact is, this woman dropped this. Obviously, she was trying to kill this infant. And I think she was trying to kill herself, too. I can't remember. She threw this child off this bridge onto a dry riverbed. 150 feet. And the kid was okay.
Bullcrap.
I swear to God, man.
How's that possible?
It might have been the blanket that the kid was wrapped in.
Yeah, I think the kid had like a blanket and everything all wrapped on around his head and everything.
Because the kid was fine.
The kid didn't even have a headache?
What do you mean a headache?
You said there's nothing wrong.
I don't know if it had a headache. Maybe it had a headache.
Did it want an aspirin?
It's a baby, man.
It's a baby.
See, you don't know, though.
I don't. Maybe it had a headache. But it's fine, and it lived, and it wasn't injured, so... It's a nutty thing. 877-876-PHIL, world famous Phil Henry Show. We're coming back more on the cringeworthy debate opening of Jan Brewer. You know what? I'm not going to read that story, man. It's not even news. They can't even tell me that it's news. An anti-bullying program pushes the gay agenda according to a Christian group. We'll be back. Phil Henry Show.
This is the world famous Phil Henry Show. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Henry.
So, anyway, now on to gay news. Well, we ain't had any in a while. And the gay, you know, the gay. Boy, the gay. You gay people. Anyway, I know, you got it's like an uphill battle. And I don't get it either. I got no problem with it. I hope that doesn't... alienate anybody.
No, I don't like it. I don't think gay is right.
Well, I don't care about you, bud. You're here. You serve here at the pleasure of me.
What's that mean?
Just like they say, you know, the Attorney General serves at the pleasure of the President.
That sounds gay.
Yeah, well, it would to you. I don't care if you don't like gay. You don't like gay people?
No, I don't like gay people. I just don't think gays should be in charge of anything.
In charge of anything? What the hell are you talking about, man? You know, you don't like black people. You got a black girlfriend.
Yeah. And I didn't say that. And I don't not like black people no more. I didn't used to like black people, but I like them better now.
Oh, I see. Because you got to know Vivian's family and all of that stuff?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. So maybe if you got to know some gay people.
No, thank you.
Don't worry about it, bud. You know. They ain't all looking to, you know, have you be their wife.
I would be the wife anyway.
Oh, I'm sorry, the husband.
Dad, I'm not even interested in that.
Man, why don't you shut up, man? The more you talk, the deeper you get yourself in.
No kidding. Gay rights groups push for anti-bullying legislation and school programs in an effort isn't... Oh, here it is. Gay rights groups push for anti-bullying legislation and school programs... is an effort to promote homosexuality to kids, according to Focus on the Family, a conservative Christian activist organization. The accusation has underscored the conflicting attitudes among some politicians and parents who have lent their support to these policies after a string of deadly bullying episodes across the country. Now, you know, one of the mistakes probably, this is a bullying, an anti-bullying campaign, and I get it. Schools should be at the front of this, every school. Why gay rights groups, or any group for that matter, any group, has to weigh in on this, I don't understand. If there's bullying going on, then the schools need to stop it. Do you understand? Now, this is not anything that is, I think, that difficult, because I know the teachers have got a tough time in the classrooms. But the kids are on the campus there. The teachers are right there. The teachers intercede all the time to stop kids from doing destructive things, and they can get more active when it comes to the bullying of other kids. However, we do have these groups. One of them is Focus on the Family. There's gay rights groups. And now Focus on the Family decides to make it an issue that these guys are gay. Never mind the fact that maybe they just don't want kids to be bullied. Focus on the Family thinks they're going to push some gay agenda, some queer agenda. Oh, you know, anti-bullying. Are you trying to turn my kid into a queer? No, we want your kid to be a nice Christian bully. The same groups, it says, lobby for gays and other minority groups to be specifically mentioned in anti-bullying legislation and try to depict Christians opposed to such treatment as bigots. Well, you are. But, you know, I know that you guys have been trying to spin it that you are the victims of bigotry. And you almost got away with it. You almost got away with it. But no one's buying it. That's why Meg Whitman may get elected governor of the state of California because her opponent, Jerry Brown, he don't bring up too many good memories in the minds of a lot of Californians, okay? And I almost was willing to vote for Meg Whitman until I heard her stand on the gay marriage issue. Now, you know, you can think what you want. I don't give a sweet you-know-what. But the fact of the matter is, it is, in the minds of some politicians, a campaign killer to be in favor of anything having to do with gay rights. It'll just commit, it'll murder you, right? Fiorina got around it. She's running for Senate. She got around it by saying, the people of the state have spoken. Now, that's very convenient because she knows most people are too stupid to understand what a constitutional issue is. So she just gets around it by saying, the people of the state have spoken. They don't want them queers getting married, see? Now, Boxer and the others, they say whatever the hell it is that you would expect liberals to say, which is that they're in favor of gay marriage. I happen to be in favor of it, too. I wouldn't exactly call myself a fan of Barbara Boxer's, but I digress. And then finally, of course, you know what Jerry Brown's issue is. It's constitutional. He feels that gay marriage is protected under the Equal Protection Clause of the United States Constitution, which I happen to agree with. Then you have Meg Whitman. And Meg Whitman, not to alienate her true Republican base, whatever that is, and however they came to the conclusion that marriage among gay people is wrong, I don't know how conservatives turned away from the oft-spoken sentiments of Barry Goldwater, who was the founder of the modern conservative movement, and now they mock him, now they make fun of him, now they say that he was senile, these ridiculously stupid people. They mock a guy like Barry Goldwater. I take Barry Goldwater over every single one of these jackasses that are talking today. Every one of these conservatives today, I'd throw them out of an airplane at 30,000 feet and take Barry Goldwater over all of them. In any event, they're all opposed to gay marriage. So Meg Whitman knows that in order to keep all those people happy, she's got to come out against it. That may not hurt her. And frankly, she may, like I said, she may still win this election, but she lost my vote, see? And I can be very conservative in a lot of areas, fiscally or otherwise. I'm not when it comes to human rights. I'm just not. And if I got a governor that is that gutless, let me put it that way, because that's what I think that is. I don't think Whitman's stupid. I think she understands. It's probably a constitutional issue. But I think she's gutless. And I don't know about the rest of you guys, and I mean this. I'm getting tired of gutless politicians. Aren't you? Aren't you getting tired of gutless politicians just saying whatever it is that people want you to hear, you know, they think people want to hear? Because that's what we've had for a long time in Washington. We've had the most gutless pack of people, both sides, Republicans and Democrats. I mean, I wouldn't give you 5 cents for any of them. Gutless wonders, every last one of them. Not a one of them standing on any kind of principle. And if they do, they're like real dumb. So anyway, Whitman, she says, no, okay, fine. That's where that's at. It cost her Phil Henry's vote. It's not a big deal. I don't know how many other people there are like me who were going to vote for Whitman until she opened her big fat trap about that. And maybe I shouldn't talk this way, you know, because Maria has done a lot of, Maria's worked with her campaign, but, you know, that's Maria. That's her thing. I mean, she's done a lot of work with Meg Whitman's campaign. But me, you know, maybe I had to tell her that, say, hey, you should pass the word to Meg that she lost my vote because of her stand. She'd probably say, and I just talked to Meg, yeah, she asked who you were again. Okay. So what parents need to be aware of is there are activist groups who want to promote homosexuality to kids because they realize if they can capture hearts and minds of our children at the earliest stages, they will have all practical purposes won the clash of queers. The clash of queers. Which means the gays that don't even know your kids, who are in the school teaching them to resist bullying, those gays have more influence over your kids than you do the actual parents, the people that live with them, the people that love them, the people that look out for them every day, that feed them, that clothe them, that send them to school. The gay, however, with his weird, miraculous, and crazy influence, is able to talk to those kids for a few minutes during the week, and suddenly they want to go queer. Because it's such an attractive lifestyle. You get beat up coming out of bars, right? You're not allowed half of the rights that other people have, right? You got to live in certain parts of town because, God forbid, you live anywhere away from the gay community. You're probably liable to get your ass beat for that. It's fantastic. You can ask Matthew Shepard. Oh, I'm sorry, he's dead. So, you know, the parents have got no influence over these kids at all. These gays that are coming into the school, they're the ones. Good God.
You know, you make a very good argument, but still, to say that a gay can be on a school campus,
You know what, Bud? What, nobody's saying gays are going to be on a school campus, and if they were, they have a right to be on a school campus.
Not to tell people to be gay.
They're not telling people to be gay. They're telling people not to bully people.
Man, take it easy, man. Talk about it in the office.
We'll talk about it in my office, okay?
I'm just saying, if I felt bad, I wouldn't go in.
Talk about it in my office.
My arm still feels good. I've got a left-handed hitter. I can strike this guy out.
Phil Hendry. This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
I don't know what he's saying. I don't give a... And this is Senior Chad. This is Senior Chad. Welcome. Harvey Warman here. And we're going to do the Senior... I got to stop for a minute. What was he saying? I'll ask him. Don't worry about it. Ask him, because I can't... When that stupid SOB starts talking to me and the music's playing, I can't hear it. I can't hear what he's saying. All right, well, that's neither here nor there. Welcome to Senior Chat. I'm Harvey Wireman, and tonight we're going to... excuse me. We're going to talk about a book that I've written that's it'll be... When I finish writing... Well, I have written it. It'll be coming out... It's coming out when I write it. What I'm saying is I've started writing it, and it'll be coming out after I write it. I don't know if I've written it yet or not. Can you tell me? I would ask Bill Putnam, do you know if I've written it?
I think so, yeah.
You think so? Do I know you, by the way?
Yeah, we met just before you were doing the show.
Yes, but are you in my life in any other way?
Well, no, but...
I don't know who you are. Anyway, so I've written the book?
No, you haven't. You haven't even written the book yet. After you write the book, then it'll go on sale.
Oh, okay. After I write the book, then it'll go on sale, according to Bill Putnam. The book is called When Will the Lies End? And it basically is about the golden years and how the golden years aren't golden at all. You know, the young people have an expression about how this sucks or that sucks or suck. You have ever heard about them saying that? Let me get Hal. Hal, you know what I mean.
Oh, yeah.
So, have you read my book?
Yeah, I read it. I thought it was great. And you're right about...
How could he read it? It's not written yet.
Bill Putnam says it hasn't been written yet.
Okay. Oh, well... All right, I understand that, but I think you're right about the golden years are not golden at all, Harvey. Old age is painful. You get uglier, you get smellier, you can't walk as fast, you can't see, you can't do anything, you can't pee without it burning like it's napalm. You can't go to the bathroom in any normal way. You need all kinds of equipment just to go to the bathroom. You need a new kind of bathroom. You need a whole new vision of a bathroom just to get something done in the morning. You understand?
Of course I do.
Now, that's just one part of it. Now, how about if you don't have money? If you don't have money, you're in trouble. If you do have money, you know what?
Oh, that's my favorite topic. If you do have money, here come your relatives.
That's right. Your relatives start bothering you. They want a piece of the action, and the next thing you know, you want to strangle a granddaughter or a grandson or beat one of your children to death with a tire iron out of the trunk of the Mercedes or something.
Yeah, that boy, you said a mouthful there.
His name's Hal.
His name's Hal, okay. You said a mouthful, Hal. What is this? Is that country music? You better not. That better not be country music. I can't do that. Welcome to Senior Chat, and my name is Harvey Wireman. As every time we're here, we talk about the issues that are important to seniors. And I want to, if we're further, to talk about the...
Are you reading that?
No, I'm ad-libbing right now.
Oh, okay.
That's Bill Putnam. You and I don't know each other, huh, Bill?
No, I just was assigned to your program, Mr. Henry.
Can I ask you? Well, I better not.
Yes, I'm gay.
Okay, that's wise. So here on Senior Chat, what we talk about are the issues important to the senior. Now, the book that I've got coming out is called. The lying must end, but I've just been told I haven't written it yet, so the when it's written. Gloria, hi, you're on Senior Chat.
Oh, hi. Harvey, did you write that book yet?
No, they said I haven't.
I wonder what it was that I read then.
Yeah, you told me you read it.
I did. I read something last week. About the golden year. Oh, you know what? You know what it was on Golden Pond. It was a... John, it was a movie that we saw.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's what I wanted to mention. You were going on and on about the Golden Girls, remember?
Uh-huh.
See that? Right? You see there? See right there? The Golden Girls are the reason I wrote this, or that I'm going to write this book. They make it look like it's a 24-hour sex festival, and they joke and kid, and you'd swear that being old is fun. What a lie, what a lie. You know, what a lie.
Hello, are you there?
You're still on.
Okay. Now it's time now for our news. Here on the Harvey Wireman Senior Chat. Give me my glasses, will you?
Where are they?
They're right in front of you. No, that's not.
These?
No, that has a plastic nose on it.
No, don't.
Okay, there you go. Here's the time for the news.
Have you still have a phone problem, don't you?
What's that?
She's on that lady's still on the line.
Is that you, Gloria?
Yes.
Oh, I thought I was hearing a voice. Yes, I do. Time now for the news on Senior Chat. Wasui Pepsi.
Let me see that. It says Warsu's Pepsi.
Warsu's Pepsi. What does that mean? Warsu's Pepsi.
It's a group.
It's a group. Gloria, do you know what that is?
They did Me and Baby Brother. They did Lowrider.
Oh, yeah, I love Lowrider. I know that. Lowrider. Lowrider. I got to go to the bathroom now. I forget what it's. 70s
Funk.
70s funk. Sensation.
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 War.
War. Want bag giving.
Won't be giving.
Won't be giving. Pepsi. Anna. Nana.
Pepsi any peace.
Oh, Pepsi any peace until a copyright law suite is settled.
Lawsuit.
Lawsuit is settled. The band claims Pepsi used its signature song, Why Can't Webbe? Why Can't Webbed Feet? Right?
Why Can't We Be Friends?
Oh, Why Can't We Be Friends? In a Pepsi Max ad reports
TMZ.
War is this called War, huh?
That's the name of the group, War.
War is seeking $10 million in damages. I should know these terms because at one time I was a law How do you pronounce that?
What do you mean pronounce it? You're not reading it.
I know, but I forget what I was, and now I have to visualize what the word is, and it's
lawyer.
Lawyer. That's right. I was a lawyer.
I still am a lawyer, as a matter of fact, but I'm not a good one. I'm Harvey Wireman, and we're reading the news. Senior citizens expunge Daira Socio Network.
Senior citizens expand.
Excuse me. Senior citizens expand their
social
network on Dean.
Online.
Baby boomers and seniors are the fastest growing group of social
networking
website users. Older I'm so tired. So tiring doing this, you know.
Harvey, take it.
I got it, Phil. Where's Phil?
Right here, Harvey.
Get him out.
Okay, Bill, thanks a lot.
Jeez, this guy's...
Don't worry about it, man. I'll take it. You all right?
I gotta lay down.
Well, you almost made it to the end of this segment, though.
Why does it have to be so long?
It's only 15 minutes, man.
Hey, man. All right, man. Thanks, man.
It's only 15 minutes. Oh, kill the music, okay, bud?
That's got the rhythm.
Yeah. All right, that was senior chat. You all right, man?
Yeah, I'll be fine, but I can't. I don't want to work with that queer.
Don't call him that, okay?
I don't want to work with him, though.
All right, you don't have to work with him.
Mr. Wireman, do you still want me to warm up that bag of tea leaves?
What bag of tea leaves?
Remember the chai tea?
Do you want chai tea?
I don't want that queer stuff. That's what that guy made. Give me a cup of coffee. I don't eat that.
Okay.
Get him a cup of coffee.
Well, the other guy made him chai tea.
Get that chai tea out of here. And that wasn't Bill that made that, bud. That was you. You're blaming it on him.
Well, I found it.
That may be well and good. Don't blame it on Bill just because you're...
Wait, I don't want any chai.
You're not going to get me chai tea. Gang members in Chicago are upset that they're not being respected by the police. That's a story we probably won't want to read. And I Heart Boobies bracelets are getting banned in schools across the country. That's another stupid, ridiculous story that we probably won't want to read. But maybe we will. 877, so that's senior chat. 877-876, Phil, the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
It's the Phil Hendry Show. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Hey, get a backstage pass. Get access to the right arm of this radio show, the backstage pass. You have access to the Phil Hendry Show website. Now, there's lots of radio websites, and I got to tell you, I don't really know why they exist. They're certainly not there to archive great radio. And I'm not saying that radio shows don't do great radio, other radio shows, but they don't do radio that they necessarily are going to save, that anybody wants to go back and listen to. Even as great, for instance, as Howard or Rush are, you're not going to go back and listen to shows of theirs from 1993. On our website, you can do that because our shows are episodic. They play episodically. They are character creations, theatrical creations. And so listening to them again is something that people who love our show, it's one of the reasons why they love this show, is you can go back and listen to the shows again and again. We also have character clips. We also have webisodes, animated features. We also have our podcasts, three different kinds of podcasts. We have a news feed every day, and if you have a backstage pass, you can comment on our news feed, and you get email access to your good buddy here, Phil. So for $6.95 a month, having access to an actual website, an actual radio website with an enormous amount of archived material. And the reason why our archived material is there is because we actually work at keeping it there, which is something that other radio shows can't do. It's impossible for them to do. So visit us online at philhendryshow.com and pick up a backstage pass. All right, police say that a San Diego teen wanted to be an infamous sociopath. Really? Sounds like a worthy pursuit.
Yeah.
An 18-year-old high school student stockpiled bomb-making materials in his bedroom and wrote about wanting to blow up his school, target individuals he hated, rape women, and become the world's most infamous sociopath, authorities said. The only problem with these sociopaths there, what's this kid's name? Joseph Thomas Hansen. Hey, Joseph, nobody really remembers them, you know, except guys like me who bring them up occasionally on radio shows. I bring up Ted Bundy, you know. If I didn't bring up Ted Bundy every now and again, nobody would even be thinking about that guy. Same thing with that other guy. What's the guy? That Kemper guy, but there was one other guy, too.
A sociopath or like a psychopath and stuff like that?
All them cats. Jack the Ripper. Although Jack the Ripper, he is pretty famous. But he was the first, man. There ain't never going to be another one like him. He was perceived to be the first, you know.
Yeah, how come he's famous and nobody else is?
Yeah. Because he's perceived to be the first, you know, psycho killer, man. Jack the Ripper. I mean, there were ones before him and certainly ones after him. But he, because he was anonymous, because we never found, like Zodiac, they never found Jack the Ripper. You know, but...
You said you know who he is.
I don't know. What do you mean I know who he is?
The other night you said you know who he was.
No, man. I was saying it was a TV show I was watching.
Yeah, you said that you believed the lady. She said she knew who he was.
No, she didn't say she knew who she was. She was a cop, and she was working with another cop, and they reconstructed the crime scenes, and they did something that they do now. It's called forensic geography. Have you heard of this?
Uh-uh.
It's pretty interesting. They try to get an idea as to the area that a serial killer works and where he might live. And where would he live based upon the crimes that he commits? That's what they do with forensic geography. Where does the guy live based upon the crime? And you have to come at it, obviously, from the crime scene itself and from the location of the crimes. So you look at these crimes, you go, oh, wow, this guy committed crimes in these areas. Based upon that, where can we begin to deduce that he lived, you know?
Yeah, but what if he drove a truck?
I don't know, bud, if he drove a truck.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So how'd they know about Jack the Ripper?
Because Jack the Ripper didn't drive a truck.
They didn't have no trucks then, man.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Jack the Ripper was on foot, most likely. Anyway, that's the great thing about that show, see? So they restructured or reconstructed the crime scenes of Jack the Ripper, where he was, what time the crimes are committed, see? And the geography of the area, meaning the hills and the, you know, the little valleys, what he had to traverse, how long it would take him, etc. And they deduced that he lived in the area. And they said that also made sense that he lived in the area because no guy could commit the crimes that Jack the Ripper committed if he came from out of the area. He would be noticed. People would say, oh, wow, this guy. And a lot of people did say they saw a gentleman, you know, with a hat or this or that. But most of them said it was a dude with a deerstalker hat, one of these kind of...
like a Sherlock Holmes hat.
Yeah, like a Sherlock Holmes hat. And they don't really remember seeing the guy before or after the crime, though. So what they were saying is that this guy probably lived in the area. He probably was just a working stiff, probably a guy that either worked on the docks or he worked as a teamster, meaning he was driving a wagon, or he was just a worker, and he was just a regular slob that lived in this very poor, this very, very economically depressed part of London back in the 1880s. So they felt that he was, in fact, local, that he was a working man. He wasn't any kind of a butcher. He wasn't a doctor. That was blown way out of proportion. That he was just a guy who would be able to go in and out of crowds of people and in and out of pubs and in and out of these buildings without being noticed because he looked like he belonged there. And they also got down to, there were a couple of suspects, one of whom was a Polish immigrant who matched this description most often that was given by the people. They even put up a composite of this man, Jack the Ripper, what he looked like. He was dark-featured. He had a big, thick black mustache. He had very dark eyebrows. He had dark eyes. And so they concluded, they felt, now I don't know if this is true or not, okay?
But they said that's the guy?
That's what they thought, but I don't go with that so much as I do agree with their description of the guy, that he was just a working stiff and a psychopath, a sociopath that lived in the area and could prey on women they would trust him. He didn't look like any kind of a weird ass, just like one of the regular customers they would have. And so all this other horse dung about him being a doctor or he was related to the royal family, all of this jazz bullcrap.
What did he look like?
I already told you, man. He had a black mustache with a black eyebrows, you know.
Yeah, but any Mexican looks like that.
Will you get out of here?
Man, that's racist.
I'm just saying.
There's no Mexicans in London, man, in 1888.
Oh.
Oh. Oh.
I thought it was L.A.
That's right. Jack the Ripper was in L.A. Police. San Diego teen wanted to be an infamous sociopath. Hansen, this kid, Joseph Thomas Hansen, was arrested August 23rd after someone tipped off the police at the school that Hansen had talked about an attack. Hansen pled not guilty Tuesday to selling, transporting, or possessing explosive device and possessing substances with the intent to make a destructive device. One thing about this kid, now they got his DNA, and they're going to stick his DNA on the FBI, you know, website, and it's all over for you, man. Charles Wagon is our technical director, Dan Northcraft, our associate producer and screener, and Jason Rantz is our producer, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com. Later.
Phil Hendry.